I'm almost jealous of the relationship you have with this person. Mm. We've been talking about mentor couples and mentors for a while now, but it's kind of hard to like just think of like, why do I need this person, right? And in real time today, you get to see Yvette kick it with a friend of hers.
Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 201 of
How Married Are You? Quick story time. I'm going to tell you about the time my wife tricked me into going to therapy. I thought I was too busy to go to therapy, so my wife convinced me to go to couples therapy because she knew there was nothing I wouldn't do for our marriage. Once the therapist and I hit it off, Yvette convinced me to break off and do one-on-ones. No, this is true. Hush. Sessions with him. What?
Okay, go ahead.
Let me tell the story.
Okay, babe.
This is an ad. Let me tell it.
Okay. You're making me sound very trickster.
You are trickster.
No.
Yeah. All right, anyway. And then we ended up getting a different couples therapist. Now that I'm in therapy on my own, there's just so much peace that comes from my sessions. I'm able to push through my week more confidently. But you shouldn't have had to convince me. I wish BetterHelp was around before we met because it would have saved me a lot of pain during the early years of our marriage.
All right, y'all. You have heard us talk about therapy and how it's impacted us as individuals and how it's impacted our marriage. And so we are so excited to have BetterHelp sponsoring this podcast episode. If you are someone who's been thinking about therapy for a while or considering it, or maybe you're still a skeptic, we feel like BetterHelp is a great opportunity for you to just dip your toe in the water a little bit. See what we're talking about. See how it makes a difference for you.
Use our affiliated link.
Make sure you use our affiliate link in order to check out BetterHelp and what they're offering you.
Make sure you get matched with a therapist today to have therapy when you need it. Let us know what you experience. You know, we have our own therapy experience, but we'd love to know how you enjoy BetterHelp. My name is Belief. This is Yvette. We married 13 years. Live in California. We got 4 kids. Relationships scary, very necessary. Share our love of struggles. We ask how married are you? Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions. We got the answers. Chocolate.
Story. It's chocolate baby story time.
1, 2, 3, and...
Baby story time.
I have a sad story.
Yeah.
This morning, Uzziah had me questioning all of my life decisions because he was like, before we left the house, he was like, I'm sick. And he's not sick. Mm-hmm. He was just like, Mom, I'm sick. He was like, because he knew that if he was sick, he didn't have to go to school. And I was like, no, but you're feeling well enough to go to school. So we get in the car. It's time to get out of the car. And then he's like sitting in his car seat, Mom, I'm sick. And I'm like, what the heck, man? Don't do this. This is not the day. And so I was like, no, bud, you want me to walk you in? I'll walk you in. So then we get into the hallway. No, I don't even know if we got into the building yet. And he just starts, tears just start coming. And I'm like, oh, shoot. So I was like, you want me to walk you all the way to your class or whatever? And he's like, yeah. And so then, but he's like I thought I was going to have to pick him up because he wasn't really moving. But then he started to walk with me. And then we get to his classroom door and he just lets it all come down.
So I'm sitting. Was he screaming?
He wasn't screaming, but he was crying. Okay. And it was like one of those, okay, I had to sit on the floor in the hallway and hold the child and like talk him into going into the class. And the only way I could talk him into going into the class is going in with him. So now I'm this grown behind woman sitting in this class with a bunch of junior kindergartens and their teacher. And so I'm sitting in there and then he is like coming, like grabbing me. I'm like, okay, let's sit down together. He's like, he points to another side of the room that he wants to sit in. The kids, mind you, are all in like a little semicircle and he's like back here, just so upset. And then he finally sits down, he stops crying. And I'm like, I'm gonna go, buddy. And then he said, okay. But he looked so sad. I closed the door and I looked at him through the little window, and he looked, it was the saddest thing I had ever seen. And I was like, no, this is good for him. Yeah, he's good.
Good job.
He's good.
That is awesome.
But there was everything in me fighting to like not bring him with me.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what's the point? Maybe he's just not ready for this. I don't know. I don't know what to do. Because I'm like, oh, let's teach him independence and da 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 da. But
he definitely has been the quickest pushed away in that.
Yeah, because I was thinking no one else
has went to school that early.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had a little bit of a different experience. And all of the kids have. Like, they have all been different in their own respects. So, like even when you think about Raya comparing himself to Anaya Uzi, like, he's had a totally different life than them.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, I don't think Anaya and Uzi will be as dependent as the boys are when they get older, because there's nobody else they're comparing themselves to. Like, there's no more kids. They're like, well, he's getting more cuddles.
Anaya notices that. Anaya does that. She compares. She's like, because, like, this morning, for example, I was like, I'm going to feed Uzi. I'm going to feed you because the food was hot and I need it. We were already behind schedule. So I was like, I'm going to blow it and feed you. You know, got this. And he didn't want me to feed. He started crying because he didn't want me to feed him. And so then I will go across, because then Anaya was like, well, Mom, I know somebody who wants you to feed them.
She's so crazy.
So I
man.
Go across the table and I cut up her food and I give her like two bites. And I'm like, now you're on your own. But for those two, I feel like I do stuff like that because they don't eat. So I'm like, at least I know food's getting into their belly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm horrible.
But let me do my chocolate story
time.
Yeah,
go ahead. I didn't.
So the other day, I'm sitting, like, Yvette's gone for the day or something. Oh. And I'm like, she's like, and I was like, are we going to do something today?
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, I think so. Yeah, we're going to do something. And I had a plan to go somewhere, do something. But Anaya was being so rude to her brother and teasing him and talking about how she's going to tell this person this and that. She was picking on Uzi. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to go nowhere. And y'all don't really have the attitude for it. So we're just going to stay in the house. So Anaya is so petty. And I do not feel comfortable letting this girl loose without her ratting. Pulling this back, because she's so creative and petty. So she was like, Dad, can you print me out a paper? And like, she goes and like, she's like, get some paper or whatever, and she's drawing a picture, and the picture is our family minus Yvette and the van, and it's the road. And then she was like, hey Dad, I drew your picture. She walks up to me, she shows me a picture. Two pieces of paper. One is the family in the van, and the other paper is blank. And I'm like, where is happening?
You told her to turn around.
Yeah, I was like, turn the other paper over. And she was like, and she turned it over, and I was like, well, what is this? This is nothing like that. And she was like, yeah, we're going nowhere. I was like, exactly. But I just was like, oh my goodness, the amount of like actual work that took to do.
I love her.
That's scary.
These are your children. That is something you would do,
but it's something I would think about doing, but not something I would actually do. Right?
Oh,
like,
gosh.
That was a little bit like, okay, girl, calm down. You're still not going nowhere. And you insulted me. Like, how dare you? Like, I don't know if the boys, like, I think Theo has that type of.
Yes.
That type of, he's like irky. Like, he likes to bother you. You know, Theo and Anaya like to get on your nerves. Uriah likes to physically get on your nerves.
Physically get on
your nerves? Like, physically touch you and get on you. You know what I'm saying? And violate you.
He just wants love.
In the physical. Anaya and Theo, mind games. But Anaya is too young to already have this. So I'm a little concerned. Anyway.
It's a sign of intelligence, kind of. But yes, we do need to channel it in the right direction.
Yes.
All right. Y'all. Before Glenn starts to do whatever he's about to do, make sure you like this video.
Absolutely.
Is that what you're going to
do? No.
Make sure you subscribe to this channel. If you're already in here and you're not subscribed, you just need to go on and hit that subscribe button. Make sure you just, you know what? You don't even know what today is about, but it's going to be great.
I promise you.
And you should just share this video with everyone you know.
Promise you. I'm already telling you, right now.
All
right. After you subscribe, after you like and all that, right? And leave reviews on the podcast, right? And comment, right? I need you to take notes.
Yeah, you might want a pen and a paper.
This episode right here is about to be crazy. And I've been waiting for this type of relationship. I've been waiting for this type of relationship. But I'm almost jealous of the relationship you have with this person.
Mm.
Because fire. Incredible in so many different ways. So today is very special. We've been talking about mentor couples and mentors for a while now, but it's kind of hard to like just think of like, why do I need this person, right? And in real time today, you get to see Yvette kick it with a friend of hers. Now, I'm not going to put the pressure on her to call her a mentor because she don't like pressure. But what I will say about her is that she has a phenomenal mind that is just so, like, this is the type of person I leaned on to figure out my 5-year plan. Like, this type of person with this type of energy who asks really good questions. I need you to just understand that when you, I know this is going to be a longer episode, but when you get through the pleasantries of the beginning of this episode, stick around for the whole thing. I promise you, Tico is on another level.
Mm-hmm.
I am so grateful that you spent time with her. And I got to witness it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I know, because I always come home and be like, this is what Tico said today. I try to like download it and even, I don't like, even.
She's never, because I've been around with like the aftermath of a Tico experience. And I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. Like, I don't get it. And you know what she said? You couldn't never say it. But when I watched her talk and think and set up, I was like, oh, she's like, it's like watching, I don't know, like, it's so dope. So I'm grateful you guys get to sit here and be a part of this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Men, women, married, single.
Yeah.
It does not matter.
It doesn't. This episode is for everyone.
You will gain a lot from this conversation.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't want to take notes, because you can always rewatch this or re-listen to this in the playback, comment the things that you feel like were worth you hearing, or mental notes you want to take. Comment those things in the comment section below, because you will need to do that. She said so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay. Anyway.
And let Tico know in the comment sections below that, like, you loved having her on.
You loved having her on here. Because, you know.
We want her to come back.
We want her to come back for sure.
All right.
All right. And here it is.
So I am here with Tico. If you do not know who Tico is, you need to be following her on all socials.
You're so kind.
Which is just
Tico Nejong.
Yeah, but are you on
you anything say all other? Socials.
I know. I was like, wait, what are all socials for you?
You go to LinkedIn and Instagram.
Oh, okay. LinkedIn and Instagram.
That's it.
We're going to work on that later. Hopefully she's going to be starting her own podcast. This might be her introduction into it. Actually, she's done podcast interviews.
I love podcast interviews. I want to do a podcast blitz. So just go on. That's my goal.
Or you could just have your own and
no.
do a blitz that way. Nonetheless, you know what? I don't even really know how to introduce you and what you do. So I'm going to allow you to do that. But one thing I want y'all to know is that for the longest time, I had like a hugest.
And I was going to say, what would you say about me then? Why am I here? No, I'm just kidding.
So this is why Tico is here. So I follow Tico on Instagram, and I don't know who, I feel like someone must have shared your post.
Okay.
Or I must have been, like, you must have been suggested. You know how they do that sometimes? Mm-hmm. And her words resonated with me. And then I went to her page and more of her words resonated me. And so then I said, okay, follow. And every single post that you post seems like it's like the Lord is using you to speak to a direct thing in my life. For real,
you know?
Like every single post has had relevance for me.
Wow.
And I am someone who is huge on words. But funny story, one time she posted something and then I was like, I just wish I could sit on your couch and like have a conversation, because it's just weird. It was just really, it still is weird how she can post.
It was a podcast interview. Where was I was sitting on a couch with someone else. And he was like, I just wish I could sit on your couch.
Yeah.
And I think that's where.
Yeah. But this woman is a wealth of knowledge. She's a wealth of genuine love and care for so many people, even strangers she hasn't even met. You can tell that just with her conviction that she posts with. But I took a risk one day. When was that? Like March or May or I don't know. I took a risk and I hit her up in her DMs and I was like, yo, we need to do life together.
Right.
And I was like, it was one of those things where I was like, this could, you know, it's either yay or nay and it's fine either way. I completely understand people be busy. And I've had people hit me up similarly. And it's just like, I don't believe I'm in a season where I can do what I asked of Tico.
It's like, anyway, don't ask me.
Yeah, don't ask me. But maybe one day, but not in this season of life. I cannot. And Tico responded almost right away, I think within an hour. Mm-hmm. And I had given her my phone number, and I think you texted me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, Glenn. She texted me. And since then, it's kind of been history. She came out to How Married Are You Live. Yes. We were talking over the summer. She had a procedure done at the beginning of summer that put her out of commission for a little bit. And we were talking and she ended up joining us live at How Married Are You Live, which was my first time meeting her in person. Mm-hmm. And since then, we've hung out a few times. And she is available via phone call, voice memos, text messaging. She's my friend.
She is. That's
She's my
she
friend.
She is. I am. Yeah. That's it. She is. I am your friend.
And
I'm so
grateful.
So can I tell when you, it's funny because when you asked and said in so many words that you were also looking for a mentor in a season for someone to pour wisdom.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, can we not put the pressure on the friendship? Now, that does not mean I want to be friends with everyone, but I do believe in intention. If I say yes, if I'm told to say yes, which is by the Holy Spirit only, then in my mind, I'm like, let's build something that means a lot, not just one way of me giving to you because I know I could pull.
Yeah. And I want to speak on that, too, just because this is a marriage podcast. But one of the things, like, I honestly did not know Tico from Peter or Paul. You know, like I just didn't know who she was, but I knew how she presented herself. And it wasn't just me in and of myself. I do believe it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit to reach out to her. And that's one thing that I would love to encourage you guys to do as well. Like oftentimes, so when I saw Tico, I saw who she was as a human, who she was as a believer. Hmm. I got glimpses of who she was as a mother, and I assumed who she was as a wife. And I saw all these things full picture and I was like, oh, I want to, like, I can see her as a version of who I would love to become or who I would love to grow into and blossom into and all the things. And so I feel like we all have people like that. Hopefully we all have people like that in our lives. And you can think of a person right now that maybe you're like, you know what, Yvette did it, I should do it. I don't know. This might be your thing. This might be your call to action, to go ahead and like think of someone that you're. Because I think when I reached out to you, I was kind of desperate. I was feeling alone. I was feeling like I'm pouring out and no one's pouring in. And I realized the value of that. I've seen the value of that in Glenn's life and other people's life. And I was just like, I need somebody. And you also have a social media presence. And so that part of it stuck out to me as well.
you have butterflies all in my stomach and my heart and my hands, and I appreciate it. I appreciate being seen. I believe that I've been seen, but when I get to hear and partake of it in person and with humans, it reminds me to keep going and to do more.
I'm surprised you're not like all the way with a million followers.
Well, that goes with the intro of what I do in a way. Yeah. Well, first off, the million follower thing sounds really creepy. And I know people who have the, like in real life, who has the million, right? And you're like, oh my God, that's not scary. So a little bit about me. So of course I'm Tico, we know that part. But I'm an emotional intelligence practitioner. So the nice or easy way of saying that is that I truly study humans and the common thread between us all, which is emotions. I always make the disclaimer that I am a teacher, not a therapist. And that's by full trade. So I like to teach. I will walk with you while you go through something, but ordinarily I'm going to say, take what I said. If it hits you, discuss it with your therapist, you know,
because, which I have done.
Right. Because that's that. I think that's so important. Like, I think too many people convolute their gifts. I know my gifting, my spiritual gifting is wisdom. My vocational gifting is teaching. And so this is where I am. But it's been for corporate America for the years that I've decided to do the emotional intelligence, and I've worked with corporate a huge portion of my entrepreneurial life, and so with organizations and corporations, and so I don't have to have a public anything, and I've been grateful, almost spoiled to a point that I didn't need to grow a social media following. So social media just kind of happens because a friend of mine, she was a social media coach, and she's like, you just need a presence. I was like, okay, fine. So I think I did a Facebook, I don't even know my Facebook login. And so I think I did a Facebook group. But all that to say, through my work, I do not or did not have to build until now, because there's a nudging of the Holy Spirit that I'm supposed to be doing something that's consumer facing, which simply means public facing. So everything I do now, I consider it private education. So I do learning and development, powered by emotional intelligence for corporations. So I go into your companies and I work with, sometimes from the top down, with their teams, and we sign contracts that may last 9 months, 6 months, and then we do these trainings, and we start with the foundations and the fundamentals of emotional intelligence, and then we talk about how those show up, whether it's in biases or hard communication or hard conversations, so on and so on. But if I were to be honest, I now recognize I'm in disobedience, because that has been my hiding place, that I don't have to do this public thing. I'm going to admit here on this podcast that I am deathly afraid of growth, because I feel like social media gives access that people don't really have. It makes them think they have it, right? Because you share, and then they tend to think that they know you. So I'm deathly afraid of growth. I'm deathly afraid of growth because I study humans. I know what humans do. And we project. And sometimes we're cruel. Sometimes we have false expectations. I don't want to be jaded, you know, because in my mind, we pick and choose who gets to be human and when they get to be human.
I started reading her book, by the way.
I was going to listen to it on the way here and ended up on a good conversation. So on the way home, my dinner, I'm going to listen. But I support her for no other reason. Everyone should get to tell their narrative, right? And so, but the way social media has, to me, turned into this place where we can like you today and not tomorrow. And it's not that I care about anyone liking me, because I am affirmed in my real life at home, like in my address, I'm affirmed. So that's not my concern. My concern is, will I be able to be okay and handle it? I don't know what my response would be. I know me. I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I am absolutely clear on the things I'm going to have to answer to. I am absolutely clear on the things I've been forgiven for. And some of that could be response. So I would probably throw it all away and be okay with throwing it all away because my spirit, I don't know how you guys can handle. Yeah, I don't know how you guys can handle not just the judgment, but the intrusion mm-hmm. of folks. You know what I mean? It's so intrusive.
Yeah, I think that sometimes when you're called to something, I feel like that's what keeps us going. Because best believe, there have been times when I'm like, I don't want this. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the Lord, in those moments, mm-hmm. like literally it's happened last week. Mm-hmm. In those moments, he brings people to remind us mm-hmm. of why he has called us to mm-hmm. share our lives the way that we do. Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't. And it's interesting you said it that way. So that's why I start off by saying, I know I'm in disobedience because yeah. I know that God has said go. I know yeah. I'm supposed to forget the audience. I know I'm supposed to make a greater impact.
Yeah.
And I shared this with you. I think I shared it with you. I know for sure I left you a few messages like, don't let me forget to tell you what Glenn said to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That just stuck. And I didn't realize it was you guys' thing for the way you do your business in the first place. But I remember it felt like an aside in that moment when he said at the How Married Are You, I think it was the first night, the mm-hmm. dinner. And he said, by the way, and I'm paraphrasing, I do this because I'm supposed to be the proof, mm-hmm. right? And then, so tell me how you guys say it, like your fingers.
We are the proof, not the example.
And let me tell you how that just stripped me. Like in that moment, I felt bucky naked because I have always walked around with this behavior that I don't have to prove anything. Mm-hmm. Because that's what social media feels like. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be social proof. And I realized I don't have to prove anything socially.
Yeah.
I don't have to prove how trouble don't last always. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think about now I share a little bit my backyard, the outside, right? No one gets to see inside, all those kind of things. I'm very protective of my life, but I now realize I do have something to prove. It is to prove that trouble doesn't last always. Mm-hmm. And it's to prove it through our humanity.
Yeah.
And through our emotions.
Yeah.
And the things I teach in private education, I am excited that I will now be doing that forward facing. Mm. We're releasing some stuff in November, but all of 2024, it's a new wave of, but it was that statement that I'm like, I have something to prove. That, and then I have another friend who, she's amazing. She's into fashion, but we were chit-chatting the other day and she said to me, and I know this is not our conversation, but maybe somebody's gleaning something. But she said to me, she says, Tico, you keep saying what you're supposed to do, but you know, for me, what encourages me is that I just tell myself, who am I to hold up the line? Mm. She's like, I don't get to hold up the line.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
She says, that's to employ people. Ooh. That's to change people's lives. That's to show them what it can be done. So those two statements, those two things are really what has me doing the work. And just the last 2 months I've done more towards public facing because who am I to hold up the line? And so I actually got a neon sign from my office made that says don't hold up the line. And I'm going to get a tattoo. I might get a tattoo today. I don't know. But I want a tattoo that says don't hold up the line. And so and then I am the proof, those two things. So anyway, all that to say, that's who I am, an emotional intelligence practitioner. And I show up to show you that your emotions count. They matter. They're everywhere. They're in us. And it's the one thing we all share.
Yeah.
Is emotions.
And one of the things, Tico has a bunch of NDAs, so she can't say who she's worked with. However, she's worked with some very impressive people that would blow your mind. And she's very successful in what she does.
Good. It's been good. God has been good.
And your husband is also very successful, and her children are very successful.
We do well. We've done well, but that's going to be a good conversation to talk about the whys behind it, because you said the following, we probably could have a lot more. So I feel like we're about to go into the depths of this conversation.
So I told Tico, I was like, there's so many different conversations we could have. And, you know, hopefully Yvette Unplugged will come back to life at some point. I'll resurrect it.
She's and then we'll it have. It's been unplugged.
It's been unplugged, like literally. And we'll have Tico over there for a little bit. But for today's conversation, I kind of wanted to center it around marriage. And I wanted to talk about the fact that you have two successful people in a marriage who have children who are also well-rounded children. And I feel like there's this thing where a lot of times we as women feel like we have to set our ambitions aside in order to support our husband and whatever it is that he's trying to go for. It's interesting because, okay, oh my goodness, I can't remember the name of the show. I think it's called The Chemist on Apple TV. It's where it's a female chemist and she ends up becoming like a cook show host. Anyways, I'll have to look up the name of the show, but it's a good show. But one of the things about her on that show is she's a woman and she's in a field that's dominated by men. And this show is kind of set back in like the 50s or maybe like 60s time frame. And she feels like she's saying she doesn't want children.
Okay.
And she doesn't want to get married. Okay. Because she feels like
she married.
She feels like those things are going to inhibit her success as a chemist. She ends up falling in love. I guess I'm gonna, there's some spoilers coming.
She's like, if you were gonna watch.
She ends up falling in love. She ends up having a child. And, you know, all the things. And so I kind of want to, it feels like that mindset is ancient, but it's also current, I feel like. Because there are a lot of women, like, if you look at who's getting married nowadays, they're getting married later because they're trying to pursue their careers. And then there's this whole thing that one girl was just in the news. You know who I'm talking about. I don't know. I don't want to say stuff to have to have stuff edited out. But
there was a person in the news that, give me a hint, a letter.
A
first
letter?
Letter of name.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Remember that?
Kind of.
Interview? Or whatever that was?
It was not an interview. Okay.
Anyway, there's just this thing. Like, women are putting love on pause because they feel like they have to experience a successful career and education and all the things before they have children or before they get married. But I feel like you are someone who has been able, I don't want to say have it all, but to have it all.
I have it all because I've defined, we'll just make sure I get to clear that up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to, because I don't want to assume too much, but yeah, it feels like you have it all. You have a healthy marriage, you have a successful career, while your husband simultaneously has a successful career, and your children are well-rounded. So talk to us. Like, I feel like there's women out there. I know this because I've had these conversations.
Okay.
There are women out there who are like, I want to do this, but it's just not my time. Like, have you ever felt there was a time in your life of being married where it just was not your time?
No.
Tell how? What conversations
so
were
first
you...
I want to go back to this all because I feel like I need to clean that up before anybody says I'm not watching this because who does she think she is? And here's how I define, do I have it all? I ask myself the question, is there anything missing? And my answer is no. There is nothing missing in my life, which means I have it all right now. I have all I'm supposed to have right now, but it didn't land in my lap. I was very intentional about it, which gets to that other part of, do I ever feel like I didn't have? No. So I feel like I have to ask the question that I ask when I do my one-to-one coaching sessions with these executives. And then when I usually speak in engagements too and all those things, I say that. So you have to give me permission. How much truth do we get to do?
100%
Okay, you guys heard her. She agreed to 100% So I'm going to give it 110% if there's a such thing. Okay. And then that way people can scale back to the 100% but we lose nothing. Okay. All right? I think the conversation that confuses me. So first, let me say, I congratulate any woman who doesn't, because we're talking about women, but mm-hmm. any woman who doesn't move past when she thinks it's her time. Mm. I'm sad for the woman who's missing what belongs to her because she's afraid to move past what's her time. So I believe there's a lot of women that are putting love on hold for something that's not going to sustain what only love can.
I want to throw this in. Hopefully, yes. Keep your thought.
Yes.
Because I don't even know, like, we've gotten emails yeah. of women who are successful and mm-hmm. they're like, the men are intimidated by my success.
Yeah, because you went after that separate and apart.
Yeah.
So here's also where I probably will lose following too. And definitely not gain. I feel like those preachers that say, you know, I'm going to say a word and I may never be invited back, but I'm going to say what's on my heart. Like, that's how I feel right now.
There's no way you can say anything wilder than Glenn has said. Okay. It's basic. Isn't she just like another
you
version
did say
of
that
a female version?
A female version of Glenn. So then, boom, I'm about to go. Okay, I feel like I have permission from Glenn to just go.
Yes.
I think where I am so thrown is how we question. So you started by saying, put our ambition aside. Mm-hmm. I am so confused on how we actually enter a marriage and then try to figure marriage out. That throws me. Here's what I mean. Hmm. I think what we've done in our culture. Oh, I should also put this disclaimer out. So I already put the first one that I'm a teacher, not a therapist. I should also say my husband's white. I don't think that makes a big difference, mm-hmm. but sometimes people do. And I think it's fair when I'm talking to an audience that may be majority mm-hmm. black or brown that, hey, I'm not speaking, but I don't change my stripes. Mm-hmm. Like, and he doesn't change his. He's mm-hmm. white, I'm black, and together we're white and black, right? Mm-hmm. And then that's what it is. So I feel like I should put that out there. Yes.
And then how long have you guys been married?
We've been married 18 really good years. That feels like maybe 9. It'll be 18 in December. See, when you round up, it's okay. Life is okay when you round up. You know, like I'm always like, I'm almost 50, I'm 47. When you round up, it feels good, right?
Yes.
And so almost 18 years. We met each other in church. That's a whole nother story, all the good things. But I think our culture does this. We get engaged, and then we plan for the wedding, and then we're figuring marriage out. Here's what I think. We've heard that theory before. Mm-hmm. Here's what I think is the part that hasn't been said or is missing, or if it has been said, I've not heard it enough, so I want to say it, is when a man asks a woman, will you marry me? I think there should be more to that. Will you marry me to do this? Will you marry me for this? And I think a woman, when she says yes, should not be saying yes based on if her manicure and the ring go coincide. I think a woman should be answering, yes, I will to do this. Yes, I will to be this. Because at the point you're willing to change your name, you're also saying I'm willing to alter my identity. The one thing we know each other by is our names. Mm-hmm. So the traditional way is to change your last name for this person, right? Mm-hmm. I think we say that feels good. But what does it really include? What does that entail? What's included in me saying yes to you? So an easy way to say that is I don't think we're intentional about what marriage is going to look like before we're in it. So like, I don't know why there's a setting aside of ambition if mm-hmm. ambition wasn't part of the agreement before we got married. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think we enter these things whole. And when I say whole, I'm not saying in the wellness sense of do we eat well? Are we healthy? I'm talking about every part of me going into marriage. So not just now how do I cultivate wife part, but how do I take Tico, who loves education, Tico mm-hmm. who has a flighty mind, and Tico mm-hmm. who can be a creative, and Tico who's not a mom yet but looking forward to it, except I don't know how many kids I want, and Tico who didn't grow up with a beautiful childhood and who did not see marriage. Like, how do I take the whole me, mm-hmm. not just the wife me. So mm-hmm. I think what's happening is a lot of these women are working backwards. Now, and I'm not saying go back to the drawing board and say it's over, capiche, I want to try again with someone else. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, and I think I shared, like, one of the things that's our hard and fast rule is everything is up for renegotiation. Mm-hmm. So I think it's time for some of these people who are already in the marriage to go back and say, what does ambition look like?
So, yeah. You're saying who are already in the marriage.
Who's asking the question in the marriage, like, how do I, I keep hearing that, you know, there's so many ways to ask the same question, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I keep hearing is a lot of women who basically are asking, how do I keep some of me?
Yeah.
Right? That doesn't belong to parenting or being a wife or having to put my dreams aside to support his. That also, to me, from the emotional intelligence side, says that there's a concern with safety. Mm. Because what's so unsafe that you're afraid you're going to lose something? Who's going to take it? Like, who's in the marriage that's not willingly saying, we should agree on what makes you feel like you have a part in existing wholly? My husband would never expect for Tico to show up as just his wife, mm-hmm, or just the mom, because that means that's not all of me.
I wonder how much of it is a self-sabotage or self-belief. You know what I mean? Like, how much of it is, because it's true. Glenn tells me this all the time when I'm like, no, I think right now I'm just called to, you know, mm-hmm, be your helpmate or take care of these children. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, Yvette, you can do this, you can do that.
Oh yeah,
like,
now see, you sound pretty, I don't want to say you sound nuts. That's not politically correct. But if it were politically correct, I would say you sound nuts to complain about something that doesn't even exist, right?
Yeah.
Like, now, so that's true for a lot of situations where the husband's saying, hey, do you too. Not do you, but do you too. And we're like, well, it's my job. I think a lot of that comes from who we think are watching us mother.
Mm.
I think a lot of women are more concerned about who's watching them mother than actually mothering.
Mm.
So I think the noble thing to do is to die on our own sword and say, no, my time looks like home now. I had to give that voice. I don't know why, but the voice felt like it fit.
That better not be an imitation of what I sound like.
No, it doesn't. But it felt like it fit the attitude of I'm sacrificing. So can I talk about that word real quick?
Yeah.
Sacrificing. I think this idea that we're sacrificing for the family,
mm-hmm,
is such a yucky, what's that? Tell me what I just saw.
No, I need to have a notepad so I can write things down so
type
I don't
it
lose
in,
my
you oh, I have type my it phone. In my, okay, type it in your phone.
Oh, my phone's under my butt.
Because here's what I can't stand about the word sacrifice, right? Like, if you look up the word sacrifice, it says to give up something for something greater.
Mm-hmm.
Except most of us are not acting like we're giving it up for something greater. We mm-hmm act like we're giving it up for something less.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you be so downtrodden over something that's greater? So when even if it was, let's just say you did need to put your ambition aside, mm-hmm, as a sacrifice for this beautiful family that most of us are standing in the middle of an answered prayer, right? There's a person, I don't know if I'm allowed to say her name, but a friend who has mentioned that recently. And like, you're standing in the middle of an answered prayer. So many of us are in the middle of an answered prayer and now we're complaining about this answer because we're sacrificing for this ambition. Like, we have to put the ambition aside. But sacrifice is not to give up something better for less. Sacrifice is to give up less for better. God never had someone sacrifice for something that was less than what they already had. Every time there was a sacrifice made, it was to get something greater. Did it just click?
Girl, because sometimes that's why I like to read your words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
And you do them in slides, so I read it one at a time.
And you're like, I
let it
study.
I let it go.
I know.
And then I go
I know, which is why I'm always like, so let me say it this way, right? So I'm going to say it this
yes
way. We treat sacrificing like as if it's I'm giving up this great thing
yeah.
to get this smaller thing.
Yeah.
When sacrifice actually is, I'm giving up this thing that looks big
mm-hmm.
for this other thing that's even greater.
Yeah.
And so the problem is women are calling it sacrifice when what they really feel is that they're settling.
Yeah.
I'll let that sit because that feels really hot. I got hot saying it.
Yeah, no, that's good. There's a difference between settling sacrifice and sacrifice.
Sacrifice should yeah. feel like, while I don't really want to let this thing go, I know what's coming. It's better. So when we talk about my family being great.
I just got.
The way that my children are showing up as teenagers. My mm-hmm. daughter's graduating. My son is a freshman. And I'm so proud of what the fruit is looking like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I knew to create my career in a way that provided me time. This is why I charge a lot, because I want time. So if I charge more, I could work less. But if I create a career where I could have more time with them, then I wouldn't be explaining to them why I had to be gone. I always say, a lot of times we'll say, well, I'm making these sacrifices for my family. And I have to ask, at least I asked myself, am I sacrificing my family? The answer for us in our house is yes. We will. This is sacrificing the kids for a career. That's not what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So why my husband this is no lie. My husband, he's a CFO at a large university, right? And he's been there almost 15 years. Side story, he went and got the job when he found out I was pregnant. That was so smart. I'm like, now, if this is how white people think.
Yeah, no, she told me the story. And so, I told Glenn, I was like.
Yeah, so college is paid for at this amazing place if she gets in, right? And so, but I think the idea of saying, let's think about, so that's back to that, what's the intention of marriage? The goal was to raise amazing children.
Mm-hmm.
Not to make tons of money. So true story, my husband is traveling for the first time in a high-powered role. He's traveling for the first time next month. He is
in 15 years?
He's not accepted that level of power because he did not want to miss games. He did not want to miss dinner. My husband has been home for dinner, minus Christmas parties around the holidays. He's been home for dinner every night. Now, I don't cook. I mean, you know, the proverbial dinner.
Like, we'll talk about that in another episode.
Yeah, the proverbial dinner. Like, he's home at dinner time. Let's say that for 18 years. I just don't know if we have intentions towards marriage. And so that ambition thing falls into that. Like, what was the agreement? What's the actual plan? I think a lot, I'm going to say y'all now, the millennials to me are planning while you go. Marriage deserves a lot more than planning as we go.
Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to you talk because I understand what you mean as far as.
They might have to make this a two-parter. I just felt my spirit. I'm like, okay, tell me how much time we have because
I know.
We're in trouble. Okay,
but my thing is, I hear what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
but I'm thinking about who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I started dating Glenn when I was 22. No, I was 21.
Yeah.
I think I was 21. I think I turned like 22 mm-hmm. a few months after we started dating.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I'm like, I kind of knew.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I wanted to be an educator.
Mm-hmm.
I knew eventually I had ambitions to like take off.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I told him I wanted to be Secretary of Education, which I do remember saying.
Okay.
But that was a little bit
far-fetched. Okay.
I probably would have been happy as an administrator, okay. maybe a superintendent of a school district, something. I don't know. But like that was it. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted summers with my kids. I knew I mm-hmm. wanted to have kids. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to have four kids.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't. There's so much I did not know about who. That sucks because that audio. Sorry if y'all can hear the car alarm. But I didn't know who I was. I've learned so much
mm-hmm.
about myself just within the last, I would say, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, how long have I been in therapy? I think it's been almost 5 years,
mm-hmm.
maybe four.
Mm-hmm.
years. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
absolutely.
I've always been someone who has, I don't know, studied God's word and tried to kind of evaluate myself or think about who I was. I've always been introspective is what I'm trying to say. And still, though, at 22, when we got married, we were 23.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know who I was.
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have known.
Yeah,
no, I feel that.
I know. You have this whole thing about the decades. Mm-hmm. But so with that, mm-hmm. like, what do you say to somebody? Because
I say, go renegotiate.
That's where the renegotiation comes in.
And here's the other thing. I already said how much truth can we do. So here's the 110 and you can scale back, right? Mm-hmm. Quit using not knowing yourself as this excuse.
Mm.
And when I say an excuse, this is a hard truth.
Speaking.
Many of you, I'm going to say you, because I like to say we when I feel like I can stand with y'all. I can't stand with you on this. So I can't. So many of you will say, I didn't know myself. I was young. But not one of us have not seen what it looks like for a woman to lose herself in marriage.
Mm.
The idea that so many of us enter marriage and then later say, as if you hadn't seen it done. Mm-hmm. We've seen our parents, or we've seen my mom was a single mom. We've seen show after show. If you watched Oprah, if you any show, the old lady, I don't know if I was supposed to say that, but you know, y'all big. I don't know if I'm supposed to say
it doesn't matter.
But if you've watched, you know what I mean? What I'm saying is stop using it as an excuse. Except like what I did is I got married young. I didn't know myself. I'm learning myself. And now what? I think it's as simple as that. I really do, because I think it's too much of an excuse. It's an easy way out to say, well, things are changing. They are. That's called life. You knew that part.
Yeah.
You also knew women lost themselves in marriage. We've known that before we got married. So who are you to think that you can do it the same way and get a different result? The other thing I want to add to young people with the career choice, I think we've put too much emphasis on, and this is just solely almost for believers.
Mm-hmm.
We've put so much emphasis on the actual career, not the call. Mm. And so because I'm supposed to teach, what I've recognized, because when I got married, I thought I was going to be a principal and then build my own school.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. I thought I was going for my PhD or my ED, and I thought that was what I was going to do. And then my husband, who's white, said, do you want to stay home with the baby? And I responded, you're trying to keep the black man down because I have degrees.
Mm-hmm.
When you make it out the hood with degrees, you use those degrees. Mm-hmm. So there was no stay at home. If you stayed at home where I grew up, you were on Section 8. Mm-hmm. So you don't stay home, right? And so for me, but I recognize that God, if he has something for me, I could do it in so many ways. I'm still a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I actually teach way more people now than I could have. So clinging to the career part, just grieve that and move on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it's time for you to grieve it, bury it, and move on. Mm-hmm. Like, and don't bury it. Like, don't go visit the gravesite. Like, just
cremate it.
Yes, because we have to stop going to the burial of the thing we had to die to. He said die to self daily. You know how many of us are refusing to die even one day? But he said die to self daily. So I think some of it is just, what am I supposed to die to? You might need to die to who you were at 22. You're not 22 anymore. And that back to everything's up for renegotiation. It's time for you guys to talk. Who am I in the last 5 years? Your growth should happen, but your call doesn't change. What you're trying to build with these four amazingly beautiful children should not change. But if you guys didn't define, so you said, I knew I want four kids, but did you and Glenn sit, you don't have to answer this, but did you and Glenn or whoever, other woman and her husband sit and say, this is what I want our children to look like? Things change all the time. We're out of church. Like, we're going through an unchurching. That was not something we met in church, so that was not a plan. But it was part of a renegotiation for us. Because the goal of a healthy family who has a real personal relationship with Christ as whole and independent has never changed.
Yeah.
Do you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I actually really enjoy that question that you just posed, and I wrote it down the last time me and Tico hung out. But I want to, I'm going to circle back to that. Mm-hmm. But yesterday I was at a conference, and the woman said, it's not worth going to battle for a plan, but it is for a purpose. And I feel like that's relevant because I don't know. I'm trying to think if it's possible to know, like, before getting married, what the purpose of your union is.
Absolutely. Do you trust an all-knowing God?
Yes. But I would have never in my imagination thought this is something Glenn and I would be doing. Having a podcast.
Plan. That's the plan.
Ah.
But your purpose was probably always going to be impact.
Got it.
Who knew if y'all were going to be a pastor and a wife? Who knew if you were going to be podcasters? Mm. Who knew if you were going to have your own Bible study group? Who knew if you were going to run a marriage retreat? The purpose is the end goal. Mm. How you get there. You guys are trying to, people are dancing. You know, I told you, y'all are jumping over hoops trying to figure out the journey. The journey should be flexible. So that's why I don't understand the ambition question. Like, I understand that I'm being, you know, a jerk. Yeah. But the jerk of me says, I don't get it. Like, are you ambitious for what? Ambitious so people could see the plan? Let that sink. Ambitious so people could see the journey? Am I ambitious because I want people to see the steps? The thing that has preserved me or kept me safe is knowing that I really didn't care who saw the work. I cared about who got the work. Who received the impact of the work. And so me teaching in private. Thank you, Lord. You know what I mean? Like, the purpose is being fulfilled. So it's easy to, it's absolutely easy to say. And tell me this, why is it that marriage seems to be the only thing that we struggle to come up with a goal for? You don't do that in school. We know the goal. What degree do you want? Okay, I got to spend these 4 years to get to this degree. Maybe five or six if you're like me. But you have an end goal. Marriage just feels like this thing that people are just, you know, fly by night with. And I think we can get as, because it really is one of the most important business decisions you will make in your life. You would not just walk and buy a house. If I showed you the first house, walk in and say, okay, we'll take it without going to see, testing the water. How is it that marriage, we've left it so, and then we invite these humans who never asked to be here to be a part of our charades?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I just think intention.
Have you seen that interview with the divorce attorney talking about marriage?
No.
It's a really good, I feel like, I'll have to send it to you, but I would really love to have a podcast episode just recapping what he was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it's some of the best marriage advice that anyone could ever give.
Now, he's divorced? Or he's a divorce attorney?
He is divorced, and he's a divorce attorney.
Okay.
And he doesn't necessarily believe in marriage. He's not advocating for marriage.
Okay.
However, and the things that he talks about, I'm like, oh, you're just dropping gems for us married folk to pick up. But I bring that up to say, because you were talking about how is it that we don't do, what did you say? Like, how, I forget what you said exactly. However, like, it takes more to buy a house. You know what I mean? Like, other contractual agreements that we
plan,
we go into,
we plan.
There's things that we have to get in line before we sign the agreement. And for marriage, it's like, you want to be with me for the rest of your life?
But you know that's biblical, right? Because we honor the covenant with man before we honor the covenant with God. And so we don't see the marriage contract as important at all. We see it as we do blessing our food, which is why I don't bless my food anymore, because I knew I was just doing something that felt religious in practice. And I was like, you know, Lord, bless this food that it be a nourishment to my body. It's a lot of grease on here. I don't know if this is going to be a nourishment.
You sound like my brother.
Like, you know, so part of me is like, some of the things we do, it's out of habit.
Yeah.
It's a habitual thing. It's religious, right? And so marriage has become religious. Let's be real clear. A lot of Christian people got married so they wouldn't have sex outside of marriage. If we were to have the full truth of why did you get married, you know, so I love How Married Are You, but there should be, you know, there's a movie 1 and 2. Why did I get married?
Oh, yeah,
it needs to be a 3, because I don't think many people can answer that. If I were to say that, why did you get married? Mm-hmm. Especially if you had ambition that you knew marriage would change. We know it because we've seen every woman complain about it. When I say every, a lot of them.
You are saying that to me, but I was a very naive young
woman. That's fine.
So I don't know that I believed that I wasn't going to do all the things.
How many women in your life did you see who were capable, or how many women did you talk to that said, I've done this and kept my ambition?
See, I don't know, because I feel like I come from, and this, I hope this doesn't offend anybody if they ever see this, mm-hmm. but I don't know that many of the people that I grew up around, mm-hmm. older women married, mm-hmm. like were ambitious like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of them took the jobs
okay.
that were, okay, I'm going to do this for 20 years, retire, mm-hmm. or however many years you have to do it, and mm-hmm. retire, and then get my benefits. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know that.
You know, they were more godlike than us, just FYI. Jesus was a carpenter. He never changed careers. Mm-hmm. Like, again, there goes that career thing, right? Yeah. It's like, what if we said ambition? What if, so back to my family's success. The part that makes us successful is because what we define as success is probably not what the world thinks success yes. is.
And that right there, I have come to understand is very important.
There you go.
Because even when I look, because I've been thinking about this whole homeschooling situation mm-hmm. for a while. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I've had to kind of renegotiate mm-hmm. my mm-hmm. why as mm-hmm. far as why am I homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And I feel like what I've done is I've been like, oh, man, that person is successful as mm-hmm. a homeschooling parent mm-hmm. or that person, whatever. I get the highlight reels or whatever.
Do they have podcasts? Are they influencers? No, I'm asking. I'm asking the real questions. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so we like to take somebody's chapter 10 and not know the chapters 1 exactly. through 9, right? And so what I'm saying is defining success for you should be what drives your ambition.
Yeah.
That's if we had to sum this all up, you used the word, I don't know if I saw women who were ambitious. Maybe they were. Maybe their ambition matched what they thought success was. Back in the day, marriage was different. Mm-hmm. We do everything so public now, right? And so it's like the successful couple, but success really means who's making money. Mm-hmm. Not the successful couples. My children have never tried drugs, or my children, I find them praying on their own. My son right now is doing two things that I think, and he's the coolest kid. Like, he's not a corny kid. Like, I feel really good about that, right? Because I feel like he's a really fly.
Let's get it straight.
Yeah, I feel like he's a cool fly kid who's reading the Bible through on his own. And he's learning Spanish on his own. Mm-hmm. Like, that to me is just like, geez, man. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in my quiet corner, I'm like, we did that. Mm-hmm. You know, because that was what our success looked like. So if you say you're ambitious about something, it should point to what you call success. Mm. Otherwise, why are you ambitious about something that doesn't matter? You know, it's weird. I asked my executives who struggle with identity, right? And so they're C-suite, but they don't see themselves, right? Like, mm-hmm. And so I'm always asking, of course, what do you call success? But even bigger, I'm thinking, what matters to you? And usually what they will answer is, oh, my mom, my dad, my parents, my children, my this, my that. Where do you spend the most time? Oh, how is it that you, no, what matters to you is this job because you spend more time. Like, I just don't believe that we are ambitious about things we don't care about. So if your ambition keeps pointing, or your ambition continues to point to a career, then you need to look yourself in the face and say, I care more about a career than this family. My husband and I have from day one knew time mattered most to us, mm-hmm. which what most people don't know is, well, you know, because of the career, I wasn't supposed to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
I actually look at him and like, God, the consistency is so admirable, because he gets to work the same job for 15 years and he's going to retire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, he's more like Jesus, because Jesus was a carpenter forever. Mm-hmm. Like, and you know, I always say, why did they tell us about that part? There's a reason they told us Jesus was a carpenter. Like, That's never crossed anyone's mind. Like, if I were to write a spiritual book, it would probably be Jesus was a carpenter. Because where does our ambition for work come from? It's definitely not biblical. True, the Bible says a man who does not work does not eat. So I don't want a broke man or a non-working man. But do we have to eat this way every day? Is it okay if things, you know what I mean? And so I just feel like you guys need to go back, y'all. Need to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, what am I ambitious for and about? And be completely honest with yourself.
Do you feel like it's necessary for, if let's just say someone's married, for the individuals to do that on their own and then come back together? Or do you think it is something that should be worked out together?
And this is where my age kicks in. I don't do much. I do a lot of planning, ideation on my own. I don't put anything into plan necessarily. Like I run it and be like, what you think? Now he doesn't care. The funny part is I just be asking. But in my mind, I want to know that he buys into Tico's about to try this next big thing. You know what I mean? Like, because once he set the, once I got past the keeping the black man down, I have not sat still with my ideas, right? It's like, oh, who knew? You could just go out and make anything, right? And so, you know, I'm launching a puzzle line. I'm doing, like, who knew? The sky's the limit.
Tico's also a carpenter, too, y'all.
A carpenter. No. You know, I stick it. So I believe in having a passion project. I believe in three things. I believe in having a career, a solid career. So that's education. And I get to do that in several forms. And then I also believe, and this could help married people, I then believe in having a passion project. If you can monetize it, that's cool. And then I think a hobby. A hobby is something that just belongs to you. So, you know, I really love woodworking just for me. It's actually where I get to exercise my perfectionist side. So I get to mess up and get it exactly the way I want. But those things are, I'm ambitious about all of that. And last thing, how do you prioritize what you're ambitious about? Because that's the other part too, right? So yeah, be that, ambitious about your career, but is that at the top of the list?
Yeah, and I think that that is the part that women struggle with the most.
Yep.
I think men think it's their right, and women think,
So I'm going to say this too.
I also don't feel like, I know we got to wrap up.
I know. Is he sit, he probably like.
No, that was the, I was getting notifications.
Is Glenn like, end it?
He did say no longer than an hour. Okay, so okay, I don't think we've done that because this started, I think we've only been talking for 50 minutes.
Glenn, have grace.
But I will say this because I feel like we didn't sit long enough on the settling versus sacrifice. As well, I do want you to make your point right now that you're about to make, but I do kind of want to
go here.
All right. So let's settle. Let's circle back to, well, what did you say? You said prioritizing ambition.
Yeah.
Which I think.
But that goes into that. Prioritizing ambition.
And so I feel like with women, that's a thing. But I do want to spend some time because I feel like you said it. You do that. You just be dropping dimes and then you just move on to the next one. But it's like, hold up a minute.
Okay.
Talk to me about that. Because I feel like as for someone like me, how the hell do I know if I'm settling or if I'm sacrificing?
What feels good in your spirit? Now, this is when emotional intelligence comes in. The Bible is clear that there's actually a scripture that says work comes without toil. And so for me, my work doesn't stress me out. Home doesn't stress me out. My kids doesn't stress me out. My husband doesn't stress me out. There are moments that I get tired. The other thing is I am clear. But again, some of this I've told you comes with age, right? I'm not, you couldn't have told my 30-year-old self this. So I think it's a matter of, I don't go to capacity for anyone. No one. I need room because I just won't go to capacity, not even for myself. You know what I mean? So I think that's important. But when it comes to prioritizing, let's throw this in here. We keep saying women feel this way. Any woman that feels any way that her husband doesn't feel is a problem. There is nothing I feel about me that either my husband doesn't feel too
or he disagrees with. At the point my husband disagrees with it, I check it. Now I'm talking about the positive things. So when we say we're not ambitious, my husband says, oh, but he's going to buy in. Well, then what is it you want to do? I think this woman, this woman feeling by herself is a problem. Because why am I married to you? I shouldn't feel by myself. Me prioritizing myself is a joint game. I feel like there's too many marriages that people are prioritizing different things. There is nothing I prioritize that's not the same priority for my husband, which means we need to sit down and figure out what's the priority. But so that just hit me that I'm like, wait, why is it that women feel like they're setting their ambitions aside, but the man doesn't see that for the most part, right? Well, then there's a divorce happening, because there should not be. If your ambition is to the side, you both should have agreed on it.
Yeah.
At the point you both agreed on it, then you shouldn't be mad.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, no, I agree.
So I start to wonder, like, what are we really doing? Again, why did we get married? Mm-hmm. Will you marry me to do what? I just think every couple should say, did we answer that question? If not, let's sit down and say.
Yeah. No, I feel like we have a premarital advantage course that mm-hmm. we have. And I feel like you just, we need another module. We need to add a module. What? Like, because that is a really good question. It's like, to do what?
To do what? To have what? To be what?
Because I do, like, I'm thinking back on who I was mm-hmm. and who Glenn was mm-hmm. when we got together. Mm-hmm. And I do believe we are still walking out the same purpose. It just looks different.
Which means you're just changing. There's a gazillion ways to get to one place.
Yes.
What's our debt? Will you marry me to do what is where you're always going?
Yeah.
How we get there, it's going to feel different. One kid yeah. versus, listen, you know, I tease you guys. I don't know what it's like to wake up in the middle of the night. No one's screaming because they had a bad dream. If they scream at this age because they had a bad dream, there's nothing I'm doing about it. Even if I could, like, they're teens. Like, I'm past that stage. The goalpost has never changed for us. The seasons have.
Yeah.
Time has. And it was impacted by grief. It's been impacted by loss. It's been impacted by hardship. Like, let's be clear. The reason why I get to share such a beautiful thing now is because trouble really doesn't last always. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm just now in a harvest season of marriage yeah. where we now get to say which tree we want to eat from, which bush. Mm-hmm. But, oh, Holy Spirit, I think for you and Glenn, I'm just going to use you guys. You guys have been together for a beautiful amount of time. You have four beautiful children. Don't stay stuck in one place because it's changing. Here's what I really mean by that. Every assignment has an end. I think sometimes we don't. God released me the other day by saying it, because I kept saying, I don't know if I feel motivated. This was right before I thought about what Glenn and my friend had said, right? I just don't feel motivated. And God was like, because you've been done with that assignment already. Look at your kids. You're done with the breaking chains. The assignment for me at that time was to break chains, to disrupt a horrible pattern of parenting and family in my lineage. That was the assignment. It's done. That's why I'm no longer excited about it. The assignment is done. God said to me, you don't have to break anymore. You now get to build. So I'm in a whole new assignment of building. Recognize the assignments. I think you and Glenn are in a position where you get to say, what assignment are we in? What's the assignment now in this season? Yvette, you might need to send those kids to school. I don't know. But you might find some joy. Now, you're talking to an educator who never thought about homeschooling.
Same.
I was like, I'm not doing it.
Girl.
I found a Christian school that I accept because I still feel like the bulk is on me. But teaching you math and stuff? I'm not doing it. Go do that. I'll teach you character. We'll be good. And so it is what it is. And we've made it. Like, I've made it. It's it's done. I told my daughter, when you graduate, I'm graduating. And when my son graduates, I'll be 50 for real. I'm done. Like, you know. So just look at your seasons.
Yeah.
And go back and see where ambition leads you.
Yeah.
What's success for y'all?
I think that's a really good place to end the podcast.
Yeah. Will you marry me to do what?
Yeah. Defining success for your marriage before walking down the aisle. What a difference it can make.
Keeping in mind that the walk, the journey's different.
Yes.
The success goal is the same.
Yeah.
Defining, what do we really want?
Yeah.
In this, for us, for you, for me, together. I don't think there's a such thing as a part. That's just that.
Yeah.
When you write a book, it's Glenn's book too.
Mm-hmm. Girl, please. All Glenn's success,
it's mine. Yours too. Do you get what I'm saying? Oh, that's yeah. How I feel. Like, I'm like, yeah, my
I'd
husband.
I'd be claiming that stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, my husband could not make the big decisions he makes if without he didn't have a peaceful me. Home. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm setting the spirit of our home. Like, yo, yeah. You come home and you happy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason he's come home at 6:30. Every, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, that's a really good point.
So,
all right, y'all, now you know why I love Tico so much.
I hope this was good for somebody.
Thank you so much for listening. We would love for you to hit up the comment section and just tell us Ooh. How awesome Tico was. Tell us Aww. What part of the episode stuck out to you, what you would like to hear more on. Who knows? Maybe this could become a bi-monthly thing. I don't know. Something.
Well, if you plug back in Yvette.
Oh.
Then we can go with, you know, some other ideas.
Yvette's got to go define success real quick. I'll
yes,
be back.
Yes, yes, yes. You really do. Because
well, there may be no B. You might stay unplugged.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on with
like,
Yvette over here.
Are you ever plugging back in? Like, girl, know. Cut the cord. Yeah. So. Thanks
All
for
right,
having
y'all.
Me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank
I love
you. Thank you.
You.
Thank you. Love you too.
All right, y'all. What did you think? I know, like, you may have thought in the beginning that we were setting this up and overselling, but pretty sure right now you already know that that was phenom. So we are so grateful that Tico joined us for this episode of How Married Are You? If you want to get to know Tico, we are going to leave all of her information where you can find her in the comments below. On Instagram, she is Tico Nijon. Excuse me if I'm saying that wrong. It's T-I-K-O-N-E-J-O-N on Instagram. And there you
no,
can
find... No, it's not T-I-K-O. It's T-I-E-K-O.
Oops.
T-I-E-K-O.
It's T-I-E-K-O-N-E-J-O-N on Instagram. And you can also find a link to her website there, and we will leave all of that stuff in the comments below. But make sure you go follow her. She's always dropping gems, always.
Yeah.
So make sure that you soak that all up.
Yeah, absolutely. And how married are you?
I am so married. I've been keeping tabs in my head, but I keep forgetting to write it down.
You want to ask me?
How married are you?
I am so married that yesterday you made plans to do nothing. And I'm very grateful that you made those plans because it was cool to just see you rest. I didn't realize that after you rested all day that you could actually sleep. But you slept like a full 8 hours as
what?
Well, right? You slept?
Yeah. Where is this going?
That I let you sleep. You know what I'm saying? No.
All right.
No.
Is that it? Are you done? Is that it?
Yeah, I let you sleep all day. And I was trying to protect your peace, like keeping the kids away.
Okay.
Yep. How married are you?
I'm so married that I didn't give you a hard time about missing the 5th appointment that I've booked for you to go get your passport.
5th event.
Babe, it's been several.
Babe, it's only been 2. This is the 2nd.
Babe, this is not the 2nd. Because the first time I booked it, it's at least been 3 times.
Incorrect. Oh, I may have missed a passport picture. Yes, there was a passport picture appointment I missed. And then there was, yeah. So
it's like you trying to stay domestic.
Why we want to be here? We don't want to be here. Let's go international.
Where are we going to go? Everywhere is trash.
You know what? I just messed up my married, are you? I'm so married that I didn't give you a hard time.
And now you're giving me a hard time.
Another one is this morning. Last night you talked about having salmon and stuff. So this morning I defrosted some salmon for you so you could have it for food later.
I'm very grateful for that. Thank you so much. You're so welcome. All right.
And that's just how married we are.